Welcome to Vet Talk with Roy O'Kanen, where we address an array of topics relevant to veterinarians and veterinary clinics. I'm Brenda Andreessen, co-CEO at Stevens & Associates, and I'm your host for this conversation. This episode centers on a topic that makes up about 20% of a veterinary caseload, dermatology. It's not surprising given that dog owners most commonly can recognize symptoms related to their pet's skin. In fact, one in every 10 dogs can be affected by a disease called atopic dermatitis. There's no cure for this disease, and management is lifelong, often including expensive and daily medications. Today, we'll discuss this issue, how to best counsel clients through dermatology-related care, including the positive impact nutrition can have. Joining me to do that are Roy O'Kanen, America's Scientific Affairs Manager, Dr. Adrian Bautista, and Dr. Catherine Milley of the Animal Dermatology Clinic in Portland.
Thank you so much, Brenda. It's great to be here.
Hello, Brenda and Adrian. So glad to be here with you guys today.
So let's dig right into this interesting topic. So Catherine, as a veterinary dermatologist, you see more patients with skin issues than most practitioners, obviously. You're also seeing some of the toughest cases. What motivated you to get into the field of dermatology?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I did general practice for several years before I decided to specialize. And honestly, a big part of it for me was that I did see a lot of derm cases when I was in general practice. And I felt that I just didn't really have the tools that I wanted to be able to help my patients. So I ended up doing a lot of my CE in dermatology. And what I found was that I just fell in love with the field and the people. And I decided that it was something that I wanted to do. So really, it came about quite naturally. And I couldn't be happier with my decision.
So let's harness that passion and your enthusiasm for the topic and talk a little bit about some baseline insights for our listeners. What do practitioners who haven't specialized in derm need to know?
You know, I think really one of the big lessons is that we need to make sure that our clients understand that this is going to be a lifelong disease that really requires management and there's no cure. I think that that can be one of the most frustrating things for both clients and veterinarians is that we often see these patients coming in with recurrent disease, recurrent problems. And unless we have that understanding that we need to find some way to manage them on an ongoing basis, it just leads to more frustration and problems. So I do really think, yes, we need to put out the fire and the reason that they're being brought into the clinic. So manage that otitis, manage that infection. But every time that patient comes in for something, we should really be also talking about how are we going to try and prevent some of these flares from happening in the future.
That's a good one. And I'm going to pose this next one to both of you. So, you know, please just jump in and feel free to discuss back and forth. So knowing that about one in every 10 dogs is potentially affected, this is going to be that multi-part question. Are there certain breeds that are more likely to be affected? And can you tell us a little bit about what atopic dermatitis is and what causes the disease?
Yeah, so I can jump in first if that's okay, Adrian. So atopic dermatitis is classified as an inflammatory and pruritic allergic skin disease that's usually associated with IgE antibodies to environmental allergens. It is a difficult disease because there's no one cause. It's really an interplay between host factors and environmental factors. I'm sure Adrian can talk about some of those things too, but you know, we really need to look at genetics, breed, as you mentioned. The local allergen load in an environment can play a huge or can have a huge impact on these patients, as well as exposure to parasites or fleas and the dog's lifestyle as well.
Yeah, Catherine, you bring up some really good points. And I think over the years, we've seen certain breeds come up more commonly as well. And it's also with the prevalence of, you know, popularity of some of these breeds. So we're seeing more of these breeds in the clinic. And also I've noticed when when I'm in practice, people moving from one area of the country to another, even from Southern California to Northern California, and their pet was doing fine down in Southern California, they come up to Northern California and wow, they have these, you know, allergic issues. So it is a really complicated disease. And so we have to think about the whole entire picture, breed, like Catherine said, genetics, where you're located, what time of year it is, what allergens you're exposed to. And so it's just, it's a very complicated disease. And as we mentioned, you know, we have to manage it for their entire life.
So given the complication, how do we start to unravel this? How do you go about taking the steps necessary to really diagnose, you know, atopic dermatitis? And then once you have that diagnosis, how do you approach treating and managing the dog or the pet?
So there's really not any specific test that can diagnose atopy. And I think that's honestly one of the challenges, is that there's no blood test or anything that we can do in the clinic to say, yes, you're atopic. So really it is based on the history of the animal, the history of pruritic skin disease, their clinical signs, so where they're affected, and the exclusion of other pruritic conditions. So for me, when I have a patient who presents with a history of year-round pruritus, I really do think that atopic dermatitis is a diagnosis of exclusion. You know, we have to rule out flea allergy. We have to rule out food allergy. We need to make sure that there are other pruritic conditions like parasitosis are not affecting that animal. And if we do all of those things and they remain pruritic or remain dependent on medication to manage their pruritus, then we get that diagnosis of atopy. As far as managing them and an approach to treatment and management, I really do think that, you know, that kind of depends on the individual case and the client desires. So I think it's really important, you know, there's no one size fits all. I think you really do have to have a conversation with the owners, because with atopic dermatitis in particular, it really depends on owner compliance and buy-in. So we need to talk to them about what our options are, and also looking at the patient, you know, how severe is this patient? If I have a dog who has chronic lichenification to its abdomen, I'm going to treat that differently than if I have a two-year-old dog who's coming in for its second episode of otitis externa. So you do really need to look at the individual, what's going on with them, and really have that discussion with the owners.
Yeah. And Brenda, I want to bring up another point. Like when Catherine mentioned diagnosis, this is, I think, the most frustrating part for owners, is that they're so used to going to the veterinarian and doing a single blood test or one little test and getting a diagnosis. And this can take months, even years, to get to that diagnosis. And it's frustrating. And so the more we can get them to understand that it is a process and that we have to go step by step, because we want to get that correct diagnosis. We want to make sure we're doing the best for that pet. I think, yeah, that whole communication piece is really important.
Not only within communication with the pet owner, but also it seems like communication within the practice itself too would be critically important to understanding, what do we have here? How did we determine, you know, exactly what we're working with, what we're going to do next, and then communicating throughout? Do you have any tips and tricks for how that communication flow can be made better, both internally and with the client?
For me, I think a lot of it is record keeping and consistency with seeing the same veterinarian every time and following through, making rechecks with the same veterinarian. When you're jumping around, especially in general practice, people jump around from vet to vet. And when they don't get an answer they want immediately or after two visits, they go to another vet. And then we start that process all over. And so one of the things we have learned is that referral to dermatologists early on in the process can be a key way to manage these patients effectively and efficiently. They get to their diagnosis sooner. So reach out to your specialists. They are there to help us, and they do. They know how to do this better than we do as general practitioners.
Yeah, thanks for that, Adrian. Definitely. You know, there was actually a couple of recent studies that were done looking at those patients who were referred earlier versus later, and patients who are referred to a dermatologist earlier on in the course of disease tend to have fewer flare episodes and longer periods between flares than if they continue to work at just the primary care level for a longer period. And that's not to say that primary care veterinarians can't do this. They certainly can. But as you've mentioned, you know, clients get really frustrated really quickly. And especially with a disease where there's no easy diagnosis, there's no one way that we know that's going to work for every patient. So I really think starting that conversation within the clinic at an early stage, and yes, record keeping, and that is so important. Even within my dermatology referral practice, you know, sometimes I see one of my other colleagues' patients, and depending on the colleague, sometimes records are better than others, and it can make it difficult to have complete follow through on a case. So if you can start early and talk to that owner, and even if, you know, the first time they come in, they don't want to go down the road of a dermatologist, that's totally understandable. But if you bring it up, and if you start talking about atopic dermatitis early on, it can make a world of difference. So I think really having those conversations at a clinic basis and talking to each other as clinicians and saying, you know, when do we feel like we need to start referring these cases? And maybe it should be earlier than later. And, you know, who are you comfortable referring to? And like Adrian said, you know, most of us aren't super scary. So please feel free to reach out and even just have a phone call conversation.
That's smart advice from each of you. So along this journey from diagnosis, well, you know, first presentation to diagnosis and then development of a treatment plan, there's a nutrition stop along the way in there. You know, and we know that nutrition can impact this and many other conditions. So, you know, Adrian, share a little bit about us with how nutrition can actually play a role.
Yeah, great question. So, you know, when we think about nutrition, especially to treat or manage a disease process, there are some diseases that, you know, nutrition jumps to like the top of the list. When we think about chronic kidney disease, that's the first thing clinicians are going to reach for. But unfortunately for dermatology, that's not where the brain goes. We don't usually think about nutrition as much. We're thinking about what can we, you know, topically use or give orally to that pet. And I want clinicians to start to think a little bit more about nutrition, because nutrition can play a huge role in a dog's skin health. Think about the skin. It's this huge barrier that needs to be healthy in order to keep all the bad things out and hold the good things in. It's a living organism. And so we need to feed it the proper nutrition in order for it to do its job. And there are certain nutrients that we know are great for the skin. And those include things like the omega-3 fatty acids, EPA and DHA. There have been numerous studies to show that they can help improve not only hair coat, but also skin quality. And we know that they can actually help reduce the amount of steroids that the dog may need to use if you have that as part of the management, overall management process, if they're receiving adequate omega-3 fatty acids. Other nutrients like linoleic acid and zinc have been shown to help decrease the amount of water loss through the skin. So, you know, we want to keep that skin nice and moist, healthy. No one likes dry skin, neither do dogs. So lots of different nutrients can play a role in the healthy skin. And a lot of these you can get through a diet.
And Catherine, you had the opportunity recently to try something new, a new diet with some of your patients. And how did they do? What benefits did you discover that included that change in diets?
Yeah, I was really lucky that I got to be part of a trial with Royal Canin. And my patients who went on the diet, I have to say they all really enjoyed it. So they ate it very well and it was really palatable, which honestly is very important, because if an owner is going to be changing their diet, you want to make sure that they actually enjoy what they eat. I had a varied response, but I will say no negative reactions. And I had a few cases that really stand out. So I had one patient It's really difficult to control atopic pit bull. And she has been a challenge for me. We have done everything. She's been very minimally responsive to most medications. So I thought she'd be a perfect candidate to try with this new diet, you know, really give it a challenging case. And honestly, her erythema, her pruritus, her scaling all went down significantly on the diet. And really, it was a game changer for her because, as Adrian mentioned, you know, in some of these dogs, just changing the diet alone and using something that's more supportive for the skin and helpful for atopic dermatitis, it was able, it allowed me to reduce her amount of topical therapies. And for this owner, I mean, she was doing things multiple times a day. So being able to reduce to like twice weekly bathing from doing something twice a day was huge. So I really do, you know, I was lucky to be a part of the trial, and I really do believe in the science of feeding our animals proper diets to really help target their skin issues. I'll also say, so Adrian mentioned, you know, things like zinc and linoleic acid and fatty acids, those are all really important. And yes, you can get those as supplements, but instead of giving a dog, you know, a handful of supplements every day, if we can get that into them with a diet trial or a diet change, hugely important and very beneficial.
And so much easier for the patient and the practice, right?
Oh, so, and the client. I mean, it's a win all around.
Yeah, you're not going to forget to feed your pet every single day, but you will forget to give a medication. Trust me, I know this from personal experience.
Oh, for sure.
So true. This has been such a like information-rich discussion we've had here on the podcast. And this is one that hopefully listeners will go back to again and again to try to pick up all those little nuggets of wisdom that you each have shared. So, you know, as we close this episode, what's one take-home message each of you would like to really be sure that practitioners know to share with owners about their dogs who have been diagnosed with atopic dermatitis?
So from my point of view, I think one of the most important things is to make sure that your owners understand that this is a lifelong condition that's going to require management and that there is no cure. So talking about multimodal therapy from the get-go, I think is really important. And making sure that owners know that there are a lot of options available to them. So yes, we can continue to put out fires as needed, but let's start thinking about diet, referral, allergy, immunotherapy, and various medications to manage them.
Adrian?
I think Catherine did a great job, but I will just say, you know, working for a nutrition company and coming from practice, you know, we don't think about nutrition a lot as we should. And I think the more we educate ourselves as well as owners on the benefits of nutrition, it's a win-win for everyone. Because I mentioned, you're not going to forget to feed your pet every day. And so getting the nutrients they need, just like you get the nutrients you need every day to go, is going to be very helpful.
This has been such a fun conversation. Thank you, Dr. Adrian Batista and Dr. Catherine Milley, for joining us today and sharing your insights.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. It's wonderful.